others. And those two precious words that seem to just pop up all over the Bible. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins. Loved us even when we were dead in sins. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you look down to verse number 18, the Bible says, for through Him we both. Aren't you glad that when we're with God, things come in numbers? Amen. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Let's pray this morning as we come. Heavenly Father, we need Your help this morning. We need the power of the Word of God to show itself very true and very real in each one of our hearts and lives this morning. Bless this time around Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Missions around the country seems to be waning. It seems harder and harder for missionaries to get their support. It seems harder and harder for missions to be spread throughout the world. And I know there's a lot of causes for that. But one of those causes, I'm afraid, is simply because the church is not as strong as it should be. And one of the main reasons that we see missions failing in America, and missions being such a hard thing to come by, is because the church is dying. People are placing less and less importance on the church than they've ever placed before. The church has its place in our lives. It has its spot. And then we just start moving things ahead of that spot. I don't know about you, but the Great Commission was given to us as individuals, but it was given to the church. And it's a faith promise conference through this church. And in order for you to meet the pledge that you are about to take today, this church still needs to be strong 12 months from now. And this church is not at the very least as strong as it is right now 12 months from now. The pledge you make today will fail. Because missions is only going to be as strong as the church is giving in it. I was in California with my wife, our 10th anniversary in September. We had the privilege of going to the redwood trees in Northern California. And as we were walking through the redwoods, I'm not sure how many of you have had that privilege. It's at very least awe-inspiring. And as I was walking around and reading different plaques, and I'm an avid reader, I read literally everything that's put in front of me. I'm reading all the plaques and going through there. There was several things that just about these redwoods that just started speaking to me in a way that wasn't just about trees. There was a word that seemed to keep popping up everywhere I looked, and it was called the word longevity. As I got to thinking about that, there was a specific plaque, and we'll mention a little bit more about this in a little bit, that caught my attention and got my heart set in this direction. And I'm obviously not, I didn't write the plaque down, it just off of memory. It basically said this. The redwoods, there was severe fire control that was put into the redwoods in the 1950s and 60s. And they did everything within their power to stop all fires that were infiltrating the redwood trees. And so fire prevention went to its height. Why the redwood trees were all dying. out the fires, but the trees were still dying. And they realized that the reason that the redwood trees were dying is because there were no fires. And so what they started to do is they started to literally go into these redwood trees and these areas where the redwood trees were and start controlled fires. And once they did that, the redwood started to once again grow and flourish. Christians, we were made for fire. I didn't say we have to like it. We're not supposed to be the ones starting them. But we were made for fire. I'm not going to preach simply on the fact of fire today, although we will talk about that towards the end. But I got to thinking this way, so I did a study on redwood trees, and this is what I came up with. They live approximately 500 to 700 years is the average lifespan, but many are known to live up to 2,000 years. They can hold up to 2,000 years. That kind of just hit me. They can hold up to 34,000 pounds of water at a time, one tree. Weigh up to 1,000,000 pounds. The average height of a redwood is 250 feet. Upwards of 375 feet is not uncommon. Most of them average between 20 and 25 feet in diameter. I don't know about you, but when I look at redwoods, I see strength. I see sustenance. I see something that, in spite of man's best efforts between the 1850s and 1950s, we cut down 95% of all redwoods. They're still around. Despite man's best effort, redwoods are still here. Despite the fires, the floods, the injury, no matter what happens, they just keep going. And the farther I studied in redwoods, the more I realized these trees just keep living. You can't kill them. I don't know about you, church. I have been helped by a church. The only reason I'm standing in front of you today is because of the help of the church. The only reason I have any clue as to how to interpret the Word of God through the direction of the Holy Spirit is because somebody sat me down at a young age and started to teach me the Bible in church. I know my dad had everything to do with it, and I'm not saying that you can live off of what the church can give you. That's not the first, that is not what I'm saying this morning. Do not take me wrong. But I am saying that without the church, we're in trouble. And without the church, missions is in trouble. And if this church does not determine as individuals that you are going to stand strong and you are going to be everlasting within this church, missions is going to die. You don't pass by with that church. Because without each individual sitting here right now, missions is not possible in this church. There are several things that I want to look at today. Number one, their anchor or their strength depends on another. Redwood trees can be average 250 foot tall. As I mentioned, many taller. Their root system is literally amazing. But it's amazing in what it isn't. I thought with redwood trees, you would have a root system that would go down 1,000 feet. Would spread out 500 feet. That's not what happened. You know the average redwood tree root system is less than 6 foot deep. And spreads out at the most 100 feet. That's it. Now, anybody that knows anything about building knows that's not a firm foundation. You have a tree that weighs 1,000,000 pounds. You know why they don't ever fall over? Ever fall over. Ever fall over. It's because they never stand alone. The only reason their root system even works is because you never see one redwood tree. Ever. You always see them in groups. And you always see them in groups of at least 20. And what their root system literally does is it grows together. And when their root system grows together, there is the strength of their roots.
that unless your root system continues to grow together, this tree will fall down. If your tree is not rooted in the people sitting next to you, it's only a matter of time before you leave this church.
1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm going to get a smile from my college kids right now. I'm going to ask you to buckle up because I talk fast when I get nervous. And I talk even faster when I'm on a time frame. So bear with me. We're fixing to do a 4-chapter Bible study in 3.5 minutes. Yes, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. If anybody knows anything about 1 Corinthians, it's about the church. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given to another the word. Verse 9, to another faith. To another the gifts of healing. Verse 10, to another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one. So also is Christ. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. It pleases God to put you in this church. It pleases him. You say, well, I don't think God put that member in this church. It pleases God. He didn't say it has to be pleasing to you. The very reason that person is in this church is because they have a gift that you do not have. And I'll take that a step further. They have a gift you do not want. So instead of being upset at them about being different, be thankful that they get to do what you don't want to do. Verse 20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. We get the point. Go to verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Chapter 12 gives us the gifts. Without those gifts, this church is weak. Without each specific member of this church, there is something that will get left undone. You say, well, I don't do much. What you do would have to be done by somebody else if you are not here. And most likely it will be done by somebody who doesn't have the time. You've all time. What I do isn't that important. Really. What part of your body that you have still in contact right here would you like to give up that you think is not important? Is there anything that you say would be okay? That if I live without it the rest of my life, it'd be okay. You can go ahead and take it. Anybody? Any takers? We'll get out the knife right now. We'll take it out. You need every part of your body, and the church is likened to a body. And if you kick one part of it out, you'll notice it's missing. The strength of this church lies in every single person here working together. Chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. We know what chapter 13 is about. It's about love. Chapter 12, gifts. Chapter 13, love. You know what the Bible's saying? He did that in the right order. He said, God gave you the gifts, but now it's on you. You've got to exercise them and use them with love. That's the point. He's saying, look, you have gifts, but if you don't use them in love, they're worthless. And then he tells us how to use the gifts. Verse chapter number 14. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather. He's saying, look, you have gifts. You need love, but rather that you what? Prophesy. Verse 3. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. What is the purpose of our gifts covered in love? So that we can prophesy. And what's the purpose of prophecy?
To edify the church. Amen. And so that the church can grow.
You say, what is prophecy? Well, there's a lot of things about prophecy. Every time we look at prophecy, we're not necessarily talking about revelation. We're talking about the truth. Amen. Which the Bible put that in a good order.
He said, you have the gift. You better grab some love. Because you need to tell the truth. Amen. If you tell the truth, without love, you will cause problems.
You have a gift. Get the love. Tell the truth. In that order. There's a lot in chapter 14. We're going to keep on going. Verse number 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Chapter 15. Chapter 15 is telling you what to prophesy. The first thing, the most important thing you're supposed to prophesy in verses 3 through 7 is the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. But if you give the gospel outside of your gift without love, people are going to look at us like most people look at us. This is an obnoxious Baptist. You've got to have the love and you've got to do it in your gift. Go to the end, chapter number 15. Very last verse of chapter 15 says, therefore. Therefore. This is the whole reason I read these four chapters. Therefore, since you have a gift, you need the love, you better tell the truth. Therefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know the only thing that gives a life purpose in this life is not vain. Without love, but you don't tell the truth. That's in vain. But if you use your gift in love by telling the truth, the Bible says, therefore, you can be steadfast. And the only way this church is going to stand fast is if it has a group of members that are all using their diverse, different gifts in their own way, with love covered all over it, in the truth of the Word of God. Therefore, you can be steadfast. And without that, this church has no hope. None. You got to do your part. So many verses on this. We're going to go to the next point. Not only does their anchor depend on another, their aptitude depends on adaptability. Their aptitude depends on adaptability. Aptitude is simply capableness. Church, we need to be capable. We need to be able. We need to be able. Able to do what? Able to survive. Able to simply survive. You know, floods do not claim the lives of redwood trees. They're the only tree on the face of the planet that can survive floods. And there's been some trees known to survive at least 7 or 8 floods in their lifetime. So how in the world do they survive? If anybody knows anything about trees,
the reason that trees normally do not survive a flood is a simple fact that when extra sediment and dirt comes in, it raises level of the soil, the root system is too far from the surface, therefore the water does not get to the to the roots. And because the water doesn't get to the roots, it's only a matter of time before the tree dies. But what redwoods do, and their uniqueness, is that when the soil level is raised, no matter how far it's raised, you know what the redwood tree automatically does? It raises the level of its root system.
They literally raise their root system.
To get it closer to the surface so it can absorb the necessary water.
Life is complicated. Life is difficult.
There's going to come some flaws. There's going to come some difficulties. And unless you find a way to get the water of the Word into the root system of your life and your family, this church will fail.
You got to raise the roots. When the floods come and the hardships come and it gets harder to get in the Word, I'm just not getting anything out of it. Roots up to the surface. Get yourself deeper in the Word of God. Get that water in the Word of God in the root system. And you can survive the floods. Not only Another defense system they have is called a burl. Whatever, that's just the word they use. I know it sounds weird. But a burl is simply this. A burl is an active seedling within the redwood tree that is held in check by the chemicals within the redwood tree. I'm sure there's a lot more complicated way to explain this, but I'm going to do it in the way that makes sense to me. And literally, those burls are held in check by the health of a good redwood tree. And when there is an injury to the tree, it changes the chemical makeup of the tree and weakens the chemical structure, and it doesn't hold the burls back any longer. These burls have been inside that tree waiting for the chance to burst out of life. But when the redwood is healthy, it holds those burls in check. But when there's an injury, when there's a harm to the tree, the chemicals let go and the burl is released. You know what that burl does? It covers over the injury. It literally replants another section of tree over the injury. If you've ever looked at redwoods, you'll see there's knots all over them. You know what those knots are? Those were injuries. But now they're covered in a foot of bark. You know why? Because there was an injury, and that burl just got let loose, and it just covered them. There's something that God gave us that we love to sing about called grace. And He's given you every bit of grace you need to cover every injury that's going to come into your life. And that grace is held in check by an easy life. And then all of a sudden, a sister looks at us wrong. And a brother hits us in the middle of a game in the mouth. And there's an injury. And you know what grace has a chance to do? Grace has a chance to stop. Grace has a chance to be let loose. Because there's an injury. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm just going to go there real quickly. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And the next thing, lest any root of bitterness. You know what is the seedling for forgiveness? Grace. And God has unlimited supply of grace. And we love to sing about it, but we don't like to use it. I want to harbor this hurt. I want to keep this. This is my hurt. This is my pain. No, it's not. God's grace wants to cover it over. But you've got to let it go. Grace, forgiveness promotes protection. Protection from bitterness. Protection from Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, lest Satan should get an advantage over us. If you look at the passage before that, it's talking about forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I like to win. And you know what happens when we don't forgive? It is like getting in a 1 mile race against Satan, who is stronger, faster, bigger, smarter, and we know he does not play fair. I'm going to give you a 2-lap lead, Satan. I'm going to give you a 2-lap lead. And that is Christianity doing that every day. I'm just going to let you have the advantage, Satan. I know you're bigger, stronger, smarter, and in every way more capable, but I'm still going to let you have a leg up. And we wonder why we can't ever get any victory. Because Satan is way up there. We couldn't win in a fair fight with Satan any day, but yet we give him a leg up. If we fail to use that grace of God that's been given to us, and when that injury comes, we just say, okay, I'm going to let that grace loose. For the sake of forgiveness. Not only does forgiveness promote protection, it produces growth. Tell me a better thing that grew out of the forgiveness that Stephen gave when he was stoned. What grew out of that? The Apostle Paul. I wonder what would grow out of our lives if we would use God's grace. I wonder what Apostle Paul is still out there killing Christians because we can't forgive. And so there can't be any growth out of our lives because we're not letting God's grace be used. Their aptitude depends on adaptability, and last of all, their age is dependent on adversity. The bark on a redwood tree averages 1 foot thick. It contains no pitch, just tannin and water. It the express purpose of fire resistance. When there is a fire, it literally chars into a heat shield for the tree. The same way a heat shield works on a re-entry vehicle. The bark also makes them impervious to fungus, disease, or bugs. There is no insect on the face of the planet that can kill a redwood. Why do you think it was so popular for building 100 years ago? It was fire resistant and bugs couldn't stand it. I don't know about you, but there's not a bug on the face of this planet that can kill this church. The only thing that's going to kill this church is the people staring at me right now. And the way we're going to kill this church is one person at a time. Church, you're built for fire. God has built you with a fire-resistant bark. It's called the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and this church. And the moment you step out from underneath that protection, you might as well strip the bark off of a redwood and start a fire. Daniel chapter 3, we have the story of the three Hebrew children. Fire has many purposes. One of those purposes is growth. Verse number 29. Therefore I make a decree. I was joking with one of the guys this morning. This would be a great way to end the service. Every people, nation, language will speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They shall be cut in pieces and their house shall be made a dunghill. So at the end of the service, say anybody speaks against Old Paths Bible Baptist Church, may they be cut in pieces and their house turned into a dunghill. There was a heathen king standing up and saying, this God is the real God. Why? Because there were some people that went through a fire. You know the best way to raise the missions of this church? Is that it's as strong as it is 12 months from now as it is today. And you have added people. Because if you do what the children of Israel did and the three Hebrew children did, you can't help but grow. It just happens. It just happens. The last fact I want to give you about redwood is this. They literally have a name that means everlasting. When you break it all down, whatever, however that means. It means everlasting. When they die, when a redwood dies, literally falls on the ground and it dies after it's been living 2,000 years. And it falls on the ground and dies. With the right water, the redwood tree out of the side of a fallen tree will produce another redwood tree that can grow to be as big as the tree it grew out of. Literally from the side of the bark from those burrows. After the redwood tree itself is dead. I don't know about you. But I would like that even after I'm dead, there are still some redwood trees that are living long after I'm dead. And you know, the only way we're going to do that is if we stick together. The only way we're going to do that is when the floods come. When the fire comes, we say, God, I'm all in. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how hot it gets. I don't care how difficult it gets. I'm in. Amen. And then long after we're gone, there's some redwood cheese. Because God's word continues long after you and I are dead. And we just have to determine. It doesn't matter what comes. I have been given everything it takes to survive. So God, if I don't survive, and if I'm not surviving, what is wrong with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for lessons we can learn in your word. And I pray that you would bless this day. Thank you for this family school hour. We pray that you would bless my preacher as he brings the message later. We sure are excited to hear from him and hear from you. In Jesus' name.